Visa wants to know, where would you like to be? Whether you're a super fan or just in it to win your league, Visa knows we want to spend less time standing in line and more time pursuing our passions. That's why for over 60 years, Visa's been adding innovative plays to the way we pay. From tapping to pay to getting paid in 30 minutes or less, they're giving businesses and consumers more tools to do just that. They know that every Visa transaction is a promise, whether it's a street vendor in front of the stadium or picking up the latest NFL gear online. Visa wants to provide us with the most secure and easy payment experience possible so everyone, everywhere can get to where they'd like to be. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Monday. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jen Wolf. That is Nick Wright. Greg Jennings is with us this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good
nice
morning.
To see you.
You are here on a very monumental day.
Good to see you,
my friend. How are you?
I'm excellent.
We got a lot to get to. We now know why they call it Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. We got a little of everything this weekend. We got upsets, we got overtimes, and perhaps the end of an era. And that is where we will start this morning. The defending champion, New England Patriots, hosting the Titans on Saturday. Quick recap for you. Fourth quarter, Pats down one. Under 3.5 to play. Brady tries to connect with Julian Edelman, but That's not an Edelman thing to do, dropping the ball like that. New England would later punt, still gets one last-ditch effort, 15 seconds left from their own one, and Tom Brady with a pick six. That ends the game and perhaps ends Tom Brady's career as a Patriot. We shall see. Titans win. They move on. Patriots are done for the season. After getting the game, all the attention, as you would imagine, focused on the future of Tom Brady.
Just very grateful for, the experience of playing this year for this team, this organization, and over the course of my career too. So I appreciate it. I hope I have always, tried to do the right thing out there. And who knows what the future holds. So we'll leave it at that.
Do you have a sense of whether you'll be back with the Patriots in 2020, and do you want to be back with the Patriots in 2020?
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, they got it's the greatest organization, and, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years, and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me, just being with them. So I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, and I'm not going to predict it, so I wish we'd have won tonight, and wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
Is there any possibility that you would retire after this last season?
I would say it's pretty unlikely, but yeah, hopefully unlikely.
Well, Nick, this is what everyone's talking about right now. It is the future of Tom Brady. Do you think Tom's played his last game with the New England Patriots, the only team he's played for in the NFL?
I do think that Saturday was his last game with the Patriots. And if it was, it obviously was the end of the most successful, improbable, and impressive run any player with any individual team in any sport, you could argue, has ever had. What he put together two separate Hall of Fame careers, the first 10 years and the second 10 years. It'll never be matched. In 18 years as a starter, 17 division titles, 13 buys, 13 AFC championship game appearances, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 wins, 4 Super Bowl MVPs, 3 league MVPs. No one will ever do what he did with that team. But he's not done playing football. And the New England Patriots, aside from the owner of the team, have not shown any inclination that they want him to continue playing football for them. They had plenty of opportunities to make Tom Brady the long-term commitment that he wanted to this offseason. They wouldn't. The only thing they gave him, and Robert Kraft talked about it with Peter King before the game, about how it was important to Tom Brady that he get flexibility, freedom after the season, that was something Tom wanted, because he does not want to trust his future to a person in Bill Belichick who clearly does not any longer believe in him as a top-flight, high-level superstar NFL quarterback. And so Jay Glazer reported this weekend, Greg, that he's not going to take any hometown discount, and why would he? He's taken hometown discounts year after year, and I'm sure he feels, with that money you've squandered it, with that money you have not put great pieces around me. So I believe Tom Brady is going to keep playing football. I do not believe it will be with the New England Patriots. And if I had to pick a team, same team I picked 2 months ago when I said this day was coming. The Los Angeles Chargers have weapons. They have an opening at quarterback. He owns a home there. It's in a great city. And they need to sell tickets there. Reportedly, they have zero PSLs sold for their new stadium. So I believe Tom Brady's a Los Angeles Charger next year. And I believe Saturday, his career with the Patriots came to a somewhat sad conclusion.
I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think those were all great points. Obviously, his accomplishments supersedes what anyone will possibly ever do in this sport at that position. Again, having said that, I do believe he will be back in a Patriots uniform next year. I don't think this was the last time we will see him in that uniform. And there's a lot of reasons I feel that way. The number one reason is when we've seen over the course of NFL history, quarterbacks that have made statements like this, that have had unbelievable careers, they've always had a successor plan. Joe Montana, mm-hmm. Steve Young, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Like, there all has always been right in place.
And they had one for a while in New England.
They had one for a while, Jenna, and they let him go. So when you look at their current roster and configuration, they don't have that. And when you look at where they always have to pick in the draft, they're not guaranteed to get that. So with that being said, Tom Brady is their only option at quarterback. Now, when I say option, viable option as far as them having success and being able to sustain that success that Bill Belichick obviously wants to sustain, but I just don't see him going off outside of the relationship with Belichick somewhere else because he means so much to that organization and there is no plan in place to take the torch and run with it.
I understand that, and it is a huge difference between having Steve Young, Andrew Luck, or Aaron Rodgers waiting in the wings and Jared Stidham waiting in the wings. But they knew who they had waiting in the wings when they refused to give him a contract extension this offseason. They knew what the quarterback marketplace was looking like. They knew who was on their roster. They didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo 6 months ago. They traded him a few years ago. And the difference between the Manning, Favre, and Montana exit is, yes, they had great players waiting for them. Those players were also still great. Montana went to the Chiefs, made an AFC Championship game. Favre went to the Jets and the Vikings, made an NFC Championship game. Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, went to 2 Super Bowls. Why does that matter? Those guys would only have been forced out, if you will, because they had a great player behind them, because they were still high-level players. Tom Brady, and I'm not trying to dance on the man's football grave, he's the greatest player I've ever seen. Tom Brady is not a good quarterback anymore. We saw it again this weekend. The reason they are not playing any longer is because in consecutive weeks, they lost to the Fightin' Ryans, Fitzpatrick and Tannehill, at home. They win 2 weeks ago. They have a bye. They win this week. They're on their way to Kansas City with a chance to do what they did last year. But once again, that offense grinds to a halt after some early success. Once those 15 scripted plays are over, what did they do? Tom Brady was 7 of 21 for, 62 yards to receivers in this football game. I know the pick six at the end was unlucky. Fine. He almost had a pick six at the end of the first half that could have essentially ended the game then. Mm-hmm. The second play of the game was this close to being a turnover where the ball barely was going forward when he got hit on the second pass of the game. Brady has been very bad this year. So if you're Bill Belichick, who ultimately makes the football decisions for the Patriots, he was made to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm sure he still feels some type of way about that. It's not necessarily, do we have a great quarterback behind Tom? It might be, we don't have a great quarterback with or without Tom, but one of them is going to be about $25 million cheaper than the other, so I'd rather go with the cheaper option.
But Greg, what we're learning is in part of the interview that Peter King had with Tom Brady afterwards is that what he inferred was that maybe that Tom Brady doesn't think it was all on him, that it was the people that surrounded him, that hometown discount that he took should have gone towards building a stronger team around him. And Peter King's inference was, if he were to come back, it's not going to be, I need people who want me, I demand other people. people around me. And that could be, I mean, I don't know if you blame the last 2 weeks just on Tom Brady or the lack of who Tom Brady had around.
No, you cannot blame the last 2 weeks on just Tom Brady. This season on solely Tom Brady. Now, he's going to bear the brunt of the load because that's his position. He's the quarterback and he's always been the focus. But when you look at their personnel and the way they've been configured on offense, Nick, they just don't have the support. And when you, all of what you said is correct, but when you have a quarterback who is in decline, you gotta have guys around him that can help elevate that, that can help it literally take some pressure off of him. So making those catches that you ordinarily wouldn't see guys make, N'Keal Harry, Mohamed Sanu, these guys, you have to step up and make plays for a guy like Tom Brady or any quarterback who is falling off or is not subpar or elite. Well,
and if you need guys around him to elevate him, which clearly at this point in his career you do, if you're a New England Patriots and you're Bill Belichick, is that worth $25+ million? Because Brady clearly, in that soundbite we heard it, he wants to be back. Robert Kraft, in his interview with Peter King that you were referencing, Jenna, Robert Kraft wants him back. But Bill Belichick, I haven't seen the contract. I guarantee in his contract it says full control of football decisions. He got his hand forced once in trading away Jimmy Garoppolo. I would imagine that Bill Belichick has a very tough conversation with Robert Kraft very shortly that says, if you meddle in this, it's not just that you're picking Tom. You are picking Tom over me. Belichick, we talk about, could Brady be on the move elsewhere? I think so. If he's not, you have to wonder, will that make Belichick say, I would like to be elsewhere? Because total control is what I was promised, and it would appear I no longer have it.
Back here with Imani Toomer, AFC wildcard game. Texans hosting the Bills on Saturday. Jumped to overtime. Deshaun Watson somehow, some way, avoids a sack, spins out of trouble, finds Tywan Jones, who does the rest, scampering for 34 yards to the 10-yard line. Man, Deshaun just putting on his cape, playing hero once again for the Texans. Little flex to show us what we're talking about here. And that would set up the Kyahmi Fairburn game-winning 28-yard field goal. Texas win 22-19 to advance. They send Josh Allen and the Bills home early. Josh Allen, very emotional after this loss. Yeah. All right, Imani, what did Deshaun Watson
prove? I'd be emotional, too, if I tried a lateral at midfield.
With this win. First playoff game.
My God, Josh.
Young, what, 22 years old?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you got to learn, man.
But let's talk about the quarterback across from him and Deshaun Watson and how superb. How impressed were you with what he did yesterday?
It's funny because I'm not impressed. I mean, I know what kind of player he is. I've been watching him ever since he was at Clemson. But his mentality is really what impresses me. The fact that no matter what happens in the beginning of the game,
because it was a slow first half.
Yeah, he wasn't spectacular.
Yeah.
And then he comes back in the fourth quarter, and that mindset where he is just on that level. And you can see he's ready to perform. He's ready to be at his best. And you can see his teammates realizing that. And I played with quarterback and Eli Manning, who no matter what happens in the first couple of quarters, if it comes down to the fourth quarter and we have a chance to win, he's 100% on board. And that's what I think when I see Deshaun Watson. Man, this is a guy that, I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks I've seen in a long time, young quarterbacks, and I'm excited to watch him play. And the only reason why I wanted the Houston Texans to win this game is because I wanted to see him play again next week. And that's how I judge quarterbacks. Do I want to see him play? Would I pay to see him play?
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh.
For me, listening to you and then watching Deshaun Watson, I go all the way back to when Dabo Swinney said, this is the closest thing to Michael Jordan that I've ever seen. And when you watch Deshaun Watson play, now he's not Michael Jordan, but his mentality, which is what you're mentioning, it's like he never falters. He never wavers. He's one of those guys that he can be down, but he's such a playmaker and he's such a player and he's so mobile and he's so accurate outside the pocket. He can make you pay. It brings me to this point. The NFL has moved on from that pocket passing quarterback. That pocket passing quarterback standing duck is getting left in the wanes.
Sure.
And it's
Tom
because
Brady.
of It's because of of guys like Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, shoot, Josh Allen. These guys can extend the plays, but they can still make plays down the field. Deshaun Watson can do it with the best of them. He had an electric game. And again, you said this earlier, he needed this. He needed this based on what they experienced last year. And even when you look at his duels against Patrick Mahomes and against Lamar Jackson, he needed to win a big game against a really good team.
Sacked 7 times, slow first half, and was able to do what he did despite his head coach.
He's spectacular. We'll talk about that in a second. He should have been the number one pick of the draft year he came out.
Absolutely.
And he was not even discussed as the number one pick. Now, in revisionist history, we'll say Patrick Mahomes should have been the number one pick. Patrick Mahomes is one of my favorite athletes ever. He plays for my favorite team. When the Chiefs traded up in that draft, I thought they were trading up for Deshaun. I was devastated when they didn't. I was like, this guy from Texas Tech. So, like, Mahomes turned into this. Deshaun's always been this.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was the third quarterback taken, the fact that he was not even discussed for the number one overall pick, it's lunacy. And he's proven it every single week of his career. When he first came into the NFL, coming in at halftime of week one, because Bill O'Brien didn't want to start a rookie, instead he started Tom Savage.
Yes.
And then he immediately goes on a record-breaking 6-game stretch.
Yeah.
Then he blows out his knee in practice. Last year, with the worst offensive line in football, carries them to the postseason. But then in the postseason, when the coaching matters more, they get de-pantsed by Frank Reich and the Indianapolis Colts. Then this year, same damn thing's going to happen again. Because Sean McDermott and the Bills really had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. They didn't have a bye, but they were locked into the 5 seed 2 weeks ago. The Texans were essentially locked into the 4 seed 2 weeks ago, so they knew what was coming. And for the first 2.5 quarters, it looked like it. It looked like Bill O'Brien's been in the lab for 2 weeks doing whatever the hell he does. Sean McDermott's been in the lab for 2 weeks. And the Bills are going to run away with this game. And it's going to be an indictment on this kid. And instead, he runs for a touchdown on a brilliant play. Gets a 2-point conversion with his legs on a brilliant play. And in the fourth quarter in overtime, he's 10 for 11 with a 149 passer rating. And the single best play I bet we'll see the whole postseason. You said it earlier. This is impossible. And he's had a number of plays like this in his career already. Texans fans will lament them, where he's been called in the grasp.
Yes.
Where he has spun out of it, but the play's already been whistled dead. If he goes down, I think they lose. It's now third and forever. They're probably punting, and the Bills are going to get the ball back. Two guys willed the Texans to victory. J.J. Watt, the best player in the history of the franchise, and Deshaun Watson, the best quarterback in the history of the franchise. And the players deserved to overcome their coaching, and they did it. And I used to live down there, so I have a lot of friends that are Texans fans. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for them because they deserved this victory based on the brilliance of that young man and J.J. Watt alone.
And Imani, we talk so much about intangibles when it comes to the football player. J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. J.J. Watt before the game coming out and saying, I may not be 100%. I'm giving you 100% of everything in my DNA for this game. And we heard after the game that Deshaun Watson at halftime said, enough is enough. I'm going to take this game on. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stay up, and I'm going to help us will this game. How important is it that two guys like that are able to be on a team, again, despite whatever mistakes head coaches make and despite everything they did in the first half?
Absolutely, because momentum is, it's contagious, right? And you want your best players, when the times get tough, in games, which inevitably they do, to step up and say, hey, look, follow me. I'm going to be there. I'm going to take all the responsibility. It's not going to be because of me. I'm not scared of the situation, and that's what you need in a leader, and that's why he's been successful everywhere he's been, because of that attitude. And I could see how Dabo Sweeney would call him the Michael Jordan, because of the mentality and how he wills his team to win. Playing against Alabama in the national championship 2 times in a row, just dominating
both times. And the best player both times.
It was incredible.
And the spark that lit the fire for the comeback was J.J. Sack. JJ looked like he was really just there almost for an inspirational lift early on. Didn't look like it was going to be his play. And then in the second half, he came on strong for a great moment for him and a great moment for the team.
But for Deshaun, the moment in the game, clearly not too big for him. So time now for Put a Grade on It, sponsored by Comrax. We'll stick with Deshaun, who did it all in the win. The Texans quarterback finished 20 of 25, 247 yards, a touchdown to go along with 55 yards on the ground and another score. So, Nick, start with you. Put a grade on Deshaun's performance.
I give him an A+, and if any of these guys disagree with me, I'm walking off the set. I don't care that it was a slow start. Yeah. You're down 16-0 on a playoff game, came back, and it was because of his brilliance. I give him an A+.
I'll give him an A- because of the fact that he didn't start off as quickly.
But go, Nick.
The fact that he, you know, came through at the end, you can't discredit the fact that he started at a slow start.
I'm going to give him an A. I'm definitely giving him an A with his ability to overcome what is in front of him with his own offensive line and what's coming at him and what he was able to do down 16 and then the play of what potentially could be of the playoffs. He's a special player, man, just special player.
All right, good stuff.
Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve on demand from your favorite restaurant. Restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to all your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Just use the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and your Dasher will bring it right to you wherever you are. Not only is that burger place you love on DoorDash already, but over 310,000 other amazing restaurants are too. DoorDash connects you with door-to-door delivery in over 3,300 cities in all 50 states across the United States and also in Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code FTF. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code FTF. Again, that's promo code FTF for $5 off your first order from DoorDash.
Little in or out, my friend. Yeah. Here we go. Tom Brady and the Pats were eliminated from the playoffs on Saturday. After the game, Brady said retirement is unlikely, but he doesn't know what the future holds. Nick, are you in or are you out on Tom Brady returning to the NFL?
To the NFL?
Yes, not the Patriots.
No. He's playing. Tom Brady's been very consistent. He wants to play until he's 45. I don't know if he gets to 45, but he's going to get to 43. He plays next season. I just don't believe it's in this uniform.
I'm in, and I do believe it's going to be in this uniform. I don't know when they'll settle it, but that's not up to me. I will find out like everybody else.
He's not going to retire.
He's not retiring.
There's no chance.
I don't know. I think I'm with you. I think he plays for the Patriots again. Eagles fell to the Seahawks 17-9 yesterday, in large part because Carson Wentz was knocked out of the game in the first quarter with a head injury. Greg, are you in or out on Philly winning yesterday if Wentz doesn't get hurt?
I'm in. Anytime you go into a postseason game, your game plan is strategically around the guys that you have going into that game, and then you have to make adjustments. McCown came in, and he did play good. He just didn't. He wasn't Wentz, and I think that if they had Wentz, they could have won that game.
I'm out because, A, McCown didn't make any critical mistakes. I understand they weren't able to finish drives. Five times inside the 30-yard line, they come away with 3 field goals and no touchdowns, did Philly. And the game is different if Wentz plays, but they were totally unable to stop Russell Wilson when the Seahawks begrudgingly put the game on Russell's right arm. And I just think they would have done that more often if Philly was able to muster more points. So I think one way or another, Seattle was going to win a close game. They ended up winning it this way. So even with Carson Wentz not being hurt, I don't believe they would have won. So I'm out.
All right. Moving on, the Dallas Cowboys have officially moved on from Jason Garrett. His 10 years at the helm only resulted in 2 playoff wins. Greg, you in or out on Jason Garrett getting another head coaching job in the NFL?
I'm out. You know, he was an interim head coach in 2010, and then he just fell into this opportunity because Jerry Jones identified him as someone that he could just pretty much puppet and get to can do whatever he wanted him to do. He hasn't been successful. Only 3 winning seasons. I'm out on Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett is a longtime head coach of the Cowboys, right?
Yes.
Correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. He's also white. those guys get other jobs. White NFL head coaches that get fired after, as long as it's not a total disaster, they become head coaches again. I'm in. Adam Gase didn't have to wait 5 minutes. He got another job. Pat Shurmur's on his second
team. Let's test your theory with Freddie Kitchens.
Well, for guys that are one and done, Rob Chudzinski types, Freddie Kitchens, those guys don't. Jason Garrett will be a head coach in this league again. He's the exact type of person that gets at least two bites at the apple. And I don't think he's a terrible coach. I don't think he's a great coach. But if you have a rebuilding team, he's going. I think he can get you to respectability.
Never really got to see what he could do if he was given all
full autonomy over that team.
The reign.
Let's play a little drawing a blank.
Okay.
Tom Brady and the Patriots were eliminated from the playoffs on Saturday. After the game, Brady said retirement is unlikely, but he doesn't know what the future holds. Greg, Brady's team next season will be blank.
Let me think about this. It'll be the New England Patriots. And I know you don't like that, but it is what it is. They don't have a successor plan lined up like you would have seen with Montana and Young and Favre and Rodgers, and the list goes on. When you don't have that leap, walking away and letting a guy like Tom Brady walk out the door and you don't have somebody to step in and fill in those shoes, it's just not a great plan.
You say I don't like that. I would love that. I would love for Tom Brady
right.
and the Patriots to
just
keep it going. Yeah, guys, run it back. This year was an aberration. They play Kansas City again next year. You get their head kicked in again. But he's not going to be on the Patriots next year. The Chargers make too much sense. He owns a home there. They need a quarterback. They need some juice moving into that new stadium where no one in L.A. seems to care about the Chargers. They have elite skill position guys in Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, Austin Eckler, even if they don't bring Melvin Gordon back. And all those, and I believe that is the only city. Tom Brady's wife has wanted him to retire for 5 years. I do not think he can go to his wife and say, honey, not only not retiring, but get ready. We're moving to Indy. I think he can say we're moving to L.A., where we actually already live in the offseason. The Chargers make too much sense for a million reasons. That's where he plays next year.
All right, moving on. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings surprised the Saints yesterday. New Orleans, one of four teams that were sent home early this weekend. So, Nick, let's spin it forward. The losing team most poised to make it back to the playoffs next season is blank.
I think Philly. Washington and the Giants are not viable competition in the division. We'll see what Dallas does at the head coach spot. They have to be healthier than they were last year. They have the easiest path via the division. I think things are actually pointing up in Philly. They should be encouraged by how the season ended, how the regular season ended. So I say the Philadelphia Eagles.
I say the Buffalo Bills. When you talk about the easiest path, I mean, obviously they're in the AFC East. They have the New England Patriots that have always been there. Mm-hmm. They have a really good team. Sean McDermott has done a great job with this organization. I like where they're headed.
All right, on to rookie DK Metcalf. He hauled in 7 catches for a rookie playoff record, 160 yards and a touchdown in the Seahawks win. But Greg, we'll let you decide. The most impressive performance from Wild Card Weekend was
Look, in a losing effort, I got to go with Taysom Hill. I liked his energy. I liked his mentality, his approach to the game. He scored catching a ball. He threw a ball. He rushed for 55 yards. Guys like that, you have to have on your team. If it were not for Taysom Hill, the New Orleans Saints wouldn't even have been in this game.
Absolutely right. Taysom Hill was sensational. I could have gone with Russell Wilson because when he was given the opportunity, he was great. Derrick Henry is maybe who I should have gone with. He was exceptional, but I want to give it to Deshaun. I think he overcame coaching. He overcame a 16-point deficit. He had the single best play of the playoffs right here. He turns a punt into essentially the game-winning field goal. So Deshaun Watson, that play plus the poise in the comeback rushing for a touchdown, he beats Taysom, who was outstanding, Derrick Henry, Russell Wilson. I'll give it to Deshaun Watson.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.